Esther Prynne's term of confinement was now at an end. Her prison door was thrown open and she came forth into the sunshine, which, falling on all alike, seemed to her sick and morbid heart as if meant for no other purpose than to reveal the scarlet letter on her breast. Esther Prynne did not flee. On the outskirts of the town, within the verge of the peninsula, but not in close vicinity with any other habitation, there was a small thatched cottage. It had been built by an earlier settler and abandoned. In this little, lonesome dwelling, with some slender means that she possessed, and by the license of the magistrates who still kept an inquisitorial watch over her, Hester established herself with her infant child. Lonely as was Hester's situation, and without a friend on earth who dared to show himself, she, however, incurred no risk of want. She possessed an art that sufficed, even in a land that afforded comparatively little scope for its exercise, to supply food for her thriving infant and herself. It was the art of needlework. She bore on her breast, in the curiously embroidered letter, a specimen of her delicate and imaginative skill, of which the dames of a court might gladly have availed themselves, to add to the richer and more spiritual adornment of human ingenuity to their fabrics of silk and gold. By degrees, her handiwork became what would now be termed the fashion. Her needlework was seen on the ruff of the governor. Military men wore it on their scarves, and the minister on his band. It decked the baby's little cap. It was shut up to be mildewed and moulder away in the coffins of the dead. But it is not recorded that, in a single instance, her skill was called in aid to embroider the white veil which was to cover the pure blushes of a bride. Hester sought not to acquire anything beyond a subsistence of the plainest and most ascetic description for herself, and a simple abundance for her child. Her own dress was of the coarsest materials and the most sombre...